Welcome back to The Starting Block. I am the host of the show, Swain, and this is the second part in Creatives Relocating. I thought it would be interesting and fun to talk to people who have a creative job and to talk to them about moving. Moving is arduous. It's always a pain in the ass, but you know, you make a plan, you pack up all your stuff, you get in motion, you get where you're going, you unpack, you settle, and then you start trying to find your way, meeting people, connecting, and hopefully making something happen. So anyway, I thought it'd be cool to talk to people about the positives and the negatives of moving. Sometimes you're leaving a place where you have lots of established connections and lots of power, so to speak, and you go somewhere and you're starting fresh. Or sometimes you're leaving from a place where you may be creatively unfulfilled or professionally haven't been able to find your way, and then you get where you're going and all of a sudden opportunities and doors open. So I have two great guests who are here to help me with this topic. First up is Zelda Devin. Zelda is a storyboard artist who works in animation. Zelda started out in New York. That's where I met her. And she was an illustrator working out in New York. And then she went to Los Angeles in California. And that's how she got involved in the animation business. And she talks about all of the in-between things that happened to her in her life that got her from New York to California and how great it's been now that she is in California, in L.A. And after Zelda is Dan Christensen. Dan is a cartoonist and a comic book artist, originally from Tucson, Arizona. Now he lives in La Rochelle, France. Dan talks about, you know, traveling abroad and going back home and things being different. And then he goes back to France and he studies and he meets someone and falls in love and other things happen. And then, you know, and really he found his way. He found his creative way there in France. And I'm happy for both Zelda and for Dan, and also from the previous episode, super happy for Christian and for Tana as well. Thank you for listening to these episodes. I hope you've enjoyed them. I hope you've gotten something out of them, and keep making stuff.
Hi, Swain. This is Zelda. Thanks so much for having me. My story is I think it's pretty crazy. I was living in Brooklyn. I was an illustrator for about 10 years at that point, and I was not really doing a good job bringing home an income or anything like that. And I was in a long-term relationship, and that was kind of falling apart as well. And I knew I had to start again. And so I've heard of LA being an amazing place to go. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of you know, people who work and make a living and are in animation and movie industry. It's an amazing place to make a living. And it's something that I've known about for a long time, but I just wasn't sure how to, you know, if I would fit in or if it would make sense. Back in 2014, I knew that things were kind of falling apart and every single possible way. So a friend of mine gave me a really good advice. He said, my friend Dan Glass, he said, choose a location, pack a bag, and find a date. And so that's what I did. I knew I wanted to move to LA. So I called one of my good friends that lived in Orange County, which is not quite LA, and I told her that I was in the middle of breaking up and that, you know, it's time. My breakup is at an end. And so, she's like, just pack your bags, just come here, just join me here for a little bit. And I'm like, I'll do it. That night I bought a plane ticket, a one-way plane ticket to LA. And, 3 weeks later I left. My situation was a little interesting because, she invited me to come stay with her for a couple of months while I figured things out. This was Orange County, not quite LA. But some crazy miracle happened, and Disney just straight up offered me a job. I was in California for about 45 days, and it was one of the craziest things that's happened to me, but they needed someone to fill a position, and they picked me. It was just word of mouth. I knew a friend I had, we knew each other, and she recommended me, and they just gave me a job. This job was kind of ridiculous. It was way more money than I've ever dreamed of making, and it was about a 9-month contract, and it completely changed my life. It changed my life in so many different ways. It taught me that it's possible to make a living as an illustrator. It taught me that it's possible to make a really good living as an illustrator. It taught me how to, you know, hit deadlines and go way beyond anything that I was really good at. Just taught me how to work. That was only 9 months, but it was the perfect storm of me being there, and they needed someone, and I was just there, and they gave me a job. Then I worked for a place called Naughty Dog, which is, they designed Uncharted 4, and that was another kind of a random stroke of events. But I think the main point is that I was living in LA. And so because I'm living in LA, there's a lot of opportunities that happen if you know how to draw. LA is just, you know, a melting pot of like a lot of different good stuff for people who know how to draw. Anybody who's struggling to find work, I encourage to move to LA. There's just a lot of low-hanging fruit. There's a lot of high-hanging fruit too. But, you know, the faster and the better you get, the more you'll be able to get jobs. One thing led to another, and then I got a rep. And I have a storyboard rep, and now I get to do storyboards for advertising, for film, and for TV, and for commercials. And right now I'm working on BoJack Horseman. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of a fairy tale, kind of a Cinderella story. You know, I struggled for about 10 years before anything really came to fruition. Maybe even longer. yeah, you know, it's, I feel like New York wasn't really a place for me to make the kind of living that I think I can. So now I'm really happy. I make a really good living as an illustrator. I do, I draw BoJack Horseman's Instagram and Twitter feed, and they have like 400,000 followers, so it's really fun. And something I didn't realize that I liked was animation. I had no idea that I would enjoy it, that I'd be good at it, that I understood it. I always thought I would do live action here in LA, but animation seems to have a really good place for me. So I just hope it keeps going. Thanks so much for letting me participate. Bye.
Hi, my name is Dan Christensen, and I'm a comic book artist and translator. Swain asked me to talk about my experience moving from the States to France, so here goes. But before I get into what makes a kid from Tucson end up in France, I have to apologize in advance if I get off-topic or ramble. Never done this before, and kind of feel like the dude in an action movie who, you know, who appears on the TV screen saying, if you're watching this, then I must be dead. You know, it feels kind of strange just talking into a microphone about this, but anyway, please be patient. Anyway, I was born in California and grew up in Arizona. I've always drawn comics. You know, I read and drew comics my whole life. I had the opportunity to spend some time in France right after high school, and I fell in love with the country, you know, the culture, the language. It completely changed me and my way of thinking. And when I came home, I discovered that everything had changed. I had friends who had died while I was gone. My best friends married or moved away, and I actually felt kind of alone, you know. The love of drawing was still there, so I pretty much spent all my time alone drawing in my room, and I kind of tended to cut myself off from everyone, which wasn't necessarily a good idea, but it was my way of coping. My parents were supportive. They've always been supportive, and they bought me this art table for my birthday. And, you know, so I pretty much camped out in my room. You know, I still have the art table today. My dad had it shipped to me, and I use it in my studio every day. So it's, Yeah, they were very supportive. And I was self-taught, and my art skills weren't professional. You know, I wasn't, they weren't professional quality, I guess. I mean, I'd drawn and written several issues of this fanzine type black and white book whose title I wouldn't reveal even under torture. I'd sent the first two issues to DC Comics, hoping that, you know, they'd offer me a chance to draw Batman or something. I don't know what I was thinking. It was about that time that I realized that I wanted to write and draw my own stories. But then again, could I pay rent doing that? You know, so I needed to perfect my craft and also get a job. But there were no art schools in Tucson, and I didn't have the money to go to the Kubert School or SVA in New York. That's where Will Eisner taught, I think, or is that SCAD? I don't remember the name of the school, but it was, you know, far away and expensive. So I didn't know what to do. I missed France terribly, and speaking French every day, you know, I missed that. And so I decided to become a French Lit major at the University of Arizona, because I just didn't want my French to get rusty. And after a semester or two, one of my teachers, who was a French native, he was an expatriate, a Frenchman who taught at the University of Arizona, he encouraged me to enter a national French essay contest that was sponsored by the Alliance Française. And that man changed my life. He showed me just how powerful an influence a teacher could have on a kid. He believed in me. He thought I could win the contest. And I almost did. I came in second. The Alliance Française gave me free round trip tickets to France and some money. So I intended to go back. You know, I was going to see some friends and just hang out and draw all summer. And I decided to check out the city of La Rochelle on the west coast of France, because I had friends in Paris who told me how beautiful it was, you know, this small city with all this great history and architecture. And so I made some phone calls, and I was able to rent a dorm room for a couple of weeks in La Rochelle. And I planned on couch surfing and hanging out in youth hostels all summer, you know, not shaving, eating ravioli out of a can, you know, sleeping on the beach, you know, that kind of thing. But it, you know, things didn't quite go as planned. I met my future wife and mother of my two boys like 4 days after I arrived. And when I went back to Tucson, at the end of that month, we kept in touch for like 7 months and started thinking that maybe we had a future together. Nothing was holding me back in Tucson. At least I felt nothing was holding me back. And I learned about this art school in Angoulême, in the city of Angoulême, where they have the International Comic Book Festival every year in January. So the following December, I brought my portfolio and all my published fanzine comics for an admissions interview with the head art teacher of the school and the school director. And as I mentioned earlier, I was a self-taught artist. And like most self-taught artists, I erroneously believed that I was good. They didn't share my opinion. They let me in on the condition that I'd try to learn how to draw and like work hard and be teachable. And, you know, plus I'm not going to lie. I mean, I wasn't admitted because I was so talented, but rather on the fact that I was American. To my knowledge, I was the first American to attend the school. And thanks to that, they could call themselves an international school of bande dessinée. So it was a win-win thing for both of us. I don't know about other students' art school experiences, but mine was pretty rough, actually. And I mean, all the students in the comic book section of the art school were, you know, friendly, amazing, extremely talented. And I found out later that most of them were pretty much all bilingual, you know, but none of them ever told me. You know, that really helped my French improve, so I can't complain. But still, it would have been nice if, you know, some of them had spoken English to me from time to time. But anyway, I mean, I'm still friends with a lot of them even today. And I learned more through interaction with them and their feedback than I did from the actual classes. I mean, the teachers knew what they were talking about. They were extremely knowledgeable, but they were also very direct and hard on us. Maybe that's it's a French teaching style. I don't know what it is, but, after class, I'd just trudge home with my ego in pieces. And at the end of my first year at school, I recall literally, sitting down at the, you know, sitting down and crying into a bowl of tomato soup in my kitchen / bathroom. You know, my apartment was small. And I was thinking that I'd never make it. You know, I was never going to be an artist, that I was just I was just terrible, you know. But it was dark times. But I somehow passed, and I graduated the following year. So now I had an art school diploma, which, along with $1.50, would get me a Big Mac at any participating McDonald's. But it wasn't worth much. I mean, but I was excited about starting a new career in cartooning and drawing comics. And a couple months later, I got married and began working part time in a bookstore. And all while drawing this black and white werewolf graphic novel called Red Hands, my first published work, which I had planned on pitching to Oni Press, who at the time was pretty much my dream publisher. And then our first child arrived. I'd been working part-time teaching English at a local high school and at the local university while drawing comics at night, but I stopped to be a stay-at-home dad. I'd been working on my own take on the superhero genre at the time, a story that would eventually become Paranormal, a trilogy that was published over here by Calabas. Having a newborn made it difficult to remain focused on my comic book work. I'd committed to stay home with my son, so it was out of the question for me to stick him in a corner while I drew comics all day. You know, so we'd play and read books and go for walks, and you know, that was also a wonderful time. Our second son was born like 3 years later, halfway through volume 2 of Paranormal, and it would take me about 2 years to finish each 46-page book in the trilogy, since I'd only draw during nap time and when the boys were asleep. And so I became a black belt in changing diapers and giving baths and making bottles, and my boys and I would draw a lot together. They're older now, and they've since moved on to other things. My oldest is now a professional card magician, and my youngest is a budding DJ and Taekwondo blue belt, which seems like a pretty useful combination of skills if he ever has any gigs in rowdy nightclubs. So that's good. Napoleon Dynamite would be proud that my boy has skills. But when they were little, I was so tired at the end of the day that I could hardly hold a pencil once they were asleep, and I was kind of in a slump. Not creatively, because I've always had tons of ideas, but I'm talking physically. It got to the point where I had to sit myself down and look in the mirror and say to myself, you know, look, if you don't treat this like a real full-time job, it's never going to be a real full-time job. So I really, you know, it got me motivated to stay concentrated, and so I cut back on the fun free time stuff, and I rolled up my sleeves and jumped back into the comic book trenches, so to speak. After the boys got older and started school, I met Florent Silloret, a very talented comic book artist and children's book illustrator, who invited me to join him and some other local creators in their studio here in La Rochelle. And that's where I work today, so no more stairs for me. I started work there right after I finished Paranormal, and I immediately began working on my Repost graphic novel, a noir story that's basically my love letter to the art of fencing. After about 20 rejection letters, I found a publisher for the French version with a Scutella Edition from Angoulême. And about the same time, I signed on with Oni Press to draw Archer Co., which was written by Jamie S. Rich. Up until then, I'd never been able to work with other writers. I mean, I have enough of my own ideas, my own stories to tell. I mean, I never really wanted to work with any other writers, but my dream had been to work for Oni Press since art school, and I finally got the chance after sending I don't know how many rejected submissions their way. And so I finished the first Archer Co. graphic novel in 2 years, and then I started work on the second Archer Co. book, and that's when life started to get kind of difficult. About this time, I started getting a lot of translation work, primarily from the French publisher Enkama Edition. They're releasing an animated feature film called MKFZ that's coming out in October that I helped translate. And that slowed, you know, working with them really slowed down my production speed. And it took me a little over 3 years to finish the second volume of Archer Co., which was frustrating for Jamie and Oni and our editor, Robin Herrera, and for me as well. On both a personal and professional level, it was a hard time for me. My marriage ended in last year, in 2017. We separated in March and signed divorce papers a few months later. So, you know, it wasn't a very easy time. And now, you know, life has changed quite a bit. I don't work full-time in comics. I juggle four jobs. I don't know if anyone out there remembers that show, In Living Color. There was this skit on it called Hey Mon, where there's this Jamaican family that works like five jobs each. And, you know, back then I'd watch that. I'd laugh, and now not so much. You know, I mean, I teach three comic book classes at a cultural center type structure here in La Rochelle on Wednesdays. I teach English classes at a local university. I translate comics and movie scripts from French into English for Encarnat, in addition to drawing comics. But then again, that's okay, because in the previous sentence are the words drawing comics. It's a dream come true. I still get to draw comics, and that's, you know, it's very important to me. So the question is, was it worth it? You know, was it worth leaving family, friends, and country, and the culture I grew up in to come here? And I would answer, yes, it sure was. I've lived over half my life here now, and I feel almost as French as I do American. I think my art style reflects that. There's some European clear line mixed in there with Silver and Bronze Age era American comics, and I've come to embrace that duality. Anyway, I love drawing comics, and so there you go. All I can say is, do what you love no matter what. That's what life's about. It's too short to do anything else. So I'd like to thank Swain for giving me a chance to ramble on, and thank you for listening. Take care, and we'll see you around.